Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 1, Text 3. Mahatam. Is that the verse on the board? Khalu. Veprashim. Uttama Shloka. Padayo. Chayam. Nivritam. Chitanam. Na kutumbe priha mati mahatam khalu viprashe uttama shloka padayo chaya nivrita chitana na kutumbe priha mati Mahatam Khalu Viprashe Uttama Shloka Padayo Chaya Nivrita Chitanam Nakutumbe Sprihamati Mahatam Khalu Viprashe Uttama Shloka Padayo Chaya Nivrita Chitanam Na Kutum Vishprihamati Do Har Mataji is put some I have a bad throat. Mahatam of great devotees. Khalu, certainly. Viprashen. O great sage among the Brahmanas. Utma Shloka Padayo. Of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Chaya. By the shade. Nivrita. Satisfied. Chitanam, whose consciousness? Na, never. Kutumbyai, to family members. Spriyamati, consciousness with attachment. Elevated Mahatmas who have taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are fully satisfied by the shade of the lotus feet. Their consciousness cannot possibly become attached to family members. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami Srila Prabhupada ki, Srila Narottama Das Thakur has sung, Nitai Pada Kamala Koti Chanda Sushila. He describes the shade of the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda as being so nice and cooling that all materialists who are always in the blazing fire of material activities may come under the shade of his lotus feet and be fully relieved and satisfied. The distinction between family life and spiritual life can be experienced by any person who has undergone the tribulations of living with a family. One who comes under the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord never becomes attracted by the activities of family life. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Param Dishtva Nirvantante, one gives up lower engagement when he experiences a higher taste. Thus one becomes detached from family life as soon as he comes under the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. Om Agyan Timinandasya Jnananjana Shalakya Chakramilitani Enam Tasmai Sri, Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Savirāmyena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kramaya Radhi Swaha. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Munitananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaur Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. I have a bad throat. So the chapter that we are reading is called Activities of Maharaj Priyavrata. And the chapter opens with Parikshit Maharaj inquiring from Shukadev Goswami. What was his inquiry? King Priyavrata is a son of Swayambhava Manu. He had two sons. One was King Uttanapada and the other was King Priyavrata. So, till the fourth canto of the Bhagavatam, you read about the descendants of King Uttanapada. And who is that famous son of King Uttanapada? And from Dhruva Maharaj's example, we see how determined he was to please the personality of Godhead. And from Dhruva Maharaj, we should get inspiration that we should also become determined to approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Maharaj Priyavrata was a brother of King Uttanapada. And while King Uttanapada was ruling, Maharaj Priyavrata was performing very severe austerities. Now, he was a king, the son of Swayambhava Manu, and the grandson of Lord Brahma. He had no attraction to material opulence. He was practicing extreme austerity. He had great spiritual knowledge. He was very renounced. And he was in the hills practicing great austerity. His father was Swayambhava Manu. And Maharaj Priyavrata had obtained spiritual guidance from the great sage Narada Muni. Swayambhu Narada Sambhu Komara Kapila Manu Pralada Janaka Bhismo Balir Bhai Yasakir Vayam. So, the 12. Sorry. So, the 12 authorities the 12 authorities, and one of them is Narada Muni. So, Narada Muni had given King Priyavrata spiritual instructions, and as a result of his spiritual instructions, the king was totally absorbed in serving the Lord. With his mind, he was constantly thinking about the Lord. With his tongue, he was constantly glorifying the Lord. With his ears, constantly hearing the glories of the Lord. His father, Swayambhava Manu, wanted him to rule over the kingdom. His kingdom was not an ordinary kingdom. They were ruling over universes. And in each universe, there are so many planets. So his father, Swayambhava, wanted him to rule over these universes. He wanted to retire. And he requested his son, please, take charge of the administration of the universes. After the universes also need management, supervision. It's not that there's no one supervising, everything goes on, but the different demigods and empowered personalities who are administering the universes and the planets, etc. So Priyavrata was requested by his father, please, take on these responsibilities. But he said, no, Narada Muni has given me very good instructions. Remain brahmachari. Just engage in devotional service. I have no interest in it. But then the Supreme Lord desired that Priyavrata should do the administration. It's not that Priyavrata was anxious. Prabhupada in the purport writes about that present day the politicians, they're very anxious to grab power. They want some position, and even till old age, they'll hold on to their positions, never retiring. But here we see the King Priyavrata, he was just engaged in performing austerities, and even though his father was requesting him to take over the administration, he had absolutely no interest at all. He was completely detached. But his father needed him to take over the administration of the universe. So his father approached Brahma. Brahma is the spiritual grandfather of King Priyavrata. And then Brahma came and descended on this early planet. He descended on a swan, accompanied by the other sages, Maruti, Marichi, and Shiva, and the personified Vedas. So, Narada Muni, Swayambhura Manu, and Priyavrata were sitting on the mountains where Priyavrata was performing austerities, and his father had come there to plead with him, please take over the responsibility. But he was showing absolutely no interest. But then the Supreme Lord inspired Lord Brahma to descend and plead with Priyavrata. And Brahma is also the grandfather of Priyavrata and the father of Narada. So Lord Brahma came accompanied by the personified Vedas and powerful personalities. And then he instructed Priyavrata that you should take on this administration. It is the desire of the Lord that you take this responsibility. And then, when he was requested by Lord Brahma, and 4 of the 12 sages were present in front of him, then ultimately Priyavrata agreed to take on the responsibility of running the universe. So, and then because he had to take on this responsibility and taking charge of the management of the universes, naturally he had to also enter the Grihastha ashram. Previously he was determined not to enter the Grihastha ashram. He wanted to just just be a brahmachari practicing Krishna consciousness. But when he was requested to take over the management of the universe, then he agreed to enter the Grihastha ashram. And then, but even when he was in the Grihastha ashram, he was an ideal God-conscious king. In the previous ages, the rulers were all Raj Rishis. They were Rajas and Rishis at the same time. Just like we see the example of King Ambarish. He gave us the perfect example of how we should use our mind and senses constantly in service of the Lord. He used his eyes to see the beautiful form of the Lord. He used his tongue to glorify the Lord. He used his ears to hear the glories of the Lord. He used his legs to walk to the temple of the Lord. He used his hands to sweep the temple of the Lord. Till very recently, 500 years ago, we saw King Prataprudra, a king who was also a great devotee of Lord Jagannath, that on the occasion of Rath Yatra, he would take a golden broom and sweep the whole, road, and then he would wash that road with scented water. So Lord Chaitanya was so pleased by the humble attitude of the king that he revealed his transcendental pastime. On the occasion of Rath Yatra, the Lord would have 7 Sankirtan parties along with each chariot. 4 in the front, 1 in the back, 1 on the side, left, 1 on the right. And the Lord was previously rotating, going from one party to another. But then he revealed his transcendental leela by simultaneously being present in all the 7 parties. And this unique darshan was given to only few devotees, including King Prataprudra. And why was King Prataprudra included in this? Because the Lord was very pleased by his humble attitude. So, the kings in the past were also ideal examples, and they were concerned about the welfare of the citizens, just like a father would worry about his child. So King Priyavrata ruled over the universe. He had 10 sons, and later he withdrew, leaving the responsibility to his eldest son. And again he withdrew for full-time meditation on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So King Parikshit, he was very curious. Right now, what we are reading is Parikshit's inquiry. What we gave you was a summary of King Priyavrata's pastime and described in the 5th canto. So King Parikshit, he asked Shukadeva Goswami, he said, how is it possible that somebody who was so determined to practice brahmachari life, that somebody who was instructed by Narada Muni on the process of devotional service, he later on got entangled in ruling over the universe. So, Prabhupada discusses this point in many of the purports in this first chapter. King Priyavrata was requested by the Lord personally through the medium of Brahma to take charge of this responsibility. On his own, he was very happy practicing extreme austerities, leading a life of a brahmachari, being totally absorbed in the process of devotional service. He had full control over his mind and he was very, very happy. But then somebody was needed to do the administrative work, and therefore he was requested by Brahma, who was directed by the Supreme Lord, to instruct King Priyavrata that he should take charge of the management of the universe. So a devotee, he serves as needed. This is what we learn from this. A devotee may have so many likes and dislikes. I like the Prabhupada said, this philosophy, I dislike is Maya. But we generally have a tendency, oh, I like this, I don't like this, I want to do this, I want to stay here, I don't want to stay there. But in the case of Priyavrata, we see that even though he had a preference to continue to live in the mountains, even though he had a preference to practice extreme austerities, remain a brahmachari, but when he saw that his father tried to convince him, but his father did not succeed. His father was telling him for a long time, come on, take charge. But he did not succeed. Then his father had to request Brahma, and Brahma was also requested by the Lord. So, but when he saw that this is the wish of the higher authorities, that I should take over the management of the universe, then he agreed to serve in that capacity. And even when he was serving in that capacity, he was totally absorbed in devotional activities. In other words, it's not that because he became a householder, because he deviated from the principles of devotional service, he was fixed on the path of devotional service. So Parikshit Maharaj's inquiry is, how did that happen? And that is subsequently explained in this chapter, why King Priyavrata gave up his austerities and entered the Grihastha ashram, and why he took over the administration, even though at one time Narada Muni told him, no, don't do it. Narada Muni told him, no, you just stay practicing austerities. But Narada Muni also, when he saw that this was the wish of the Lord as reflected to the medium of Brahma, Narada Muni also surrendered and he agreed to the plan of the Lord. So that should be our ultimate goal, that whatever is Krishna's desire should be our desire. So Prabhupada in this verse and purport talks about the word Mahatma. Parikshit Maharaj has described Priyavrata to be a Mahatma. And Parikshit Maharaj says in this verse that the king was a genuine Mahatma, totally satisfied by worshipping the lotus feet of the Lord. So, who is a Mahatma? Prabhupada discusses this point in the 9th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Matmanasya Mahaprasa. Who is the perfect Mahatma? Who is always engaged in devotional activities. He is the perfect Mahatma. Not that, as Prabhupada often said, and he says in the 9th chapter of the Gita, that you rubber stamp a person and say, oh, he's a Mahatma. Prabhupada was very critical of rubber stamping Mahatmas. The characteristic of Mahatma is, he's totally absorbed in devotional activity, satatam kriteyantamam, always engaged in glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And such a Mahatma, as the verse explains, is totally satisfied in worshipping the lotus feet of the Lord. In other words, one who takes the path of devotional service, he's totally satisfied. In mature life, you can try how hard you want. You can obtain as many successes as you wish. Still, in the end, you'll be unhappy, frustrated. Whereas, if one takes to the process of devotional service, one will be satisfied in any condition. So, Parikshit Maharaj explains that the elevated Mahatmas, they take shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And as a result, they are totally satisfied. So when it takes to the path of pure devotional service, also remains satisfied in every condition. Even in a difficult position, a devotee is satisfied because he is engaged in serving the Lord. Once Prabhupada was coming down the lift of the Fifth Avenue Temple at one time in New York. In New York, Fifth Avenue is one of the most famous avenues. ISKCON has a big temple there. So Prabhupada was coming down the lift and his servants were advising him, Prabhupada, please go and take rest in Gita Nagari. You know, Gita Nagari is a farm project not far from New York. But Prabhupada said, please don't take away my privilege to struggle for Krishna. So he said, don't take away my privilege to struggle for Krishna. In other words, a devotee, even if he has to struggle for Krishna, even if he has to go through difficulties, he is not in any way discouraged. Rather, he takes this as an opportunity to increase his devotional service to the Lord, just like Queen Kunti prays in the first canto, that my dear Lord, please increase my calamities, because as I increase my calamities, I meditate at the lotus feet even more. And the more I meditate at the lotus feet, the faster I become free from the cycle of birth and death. So a true Mahatma is one who is totally absorbed in devotional activities all the time. That is how we recognize a Mahatma. How absorbed he is in the process of devotional service. Bahunam janmanante gyanamam prapadate mahasudeva sarvamiti sa mahatma sudalabha. So who is a Mahatma? Who understands the position of Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Who understands the importance of devotional service. Who understands the importance of the process of bhakti yoga. And who engages in this. Not that he just understands theoretically and doesn't engage in that. He has to practically engage in devotional activities. And one who is totally absorbed in devotional activities, even if he is in the householder situation, he remains detached. In the Bhagavad Gita, we get the example of the lotus leaf that is in water, but not touched by the water. So, Bhagavad Gita teaches us how to work and do a duty in the spirit of detachment. So one who is Krishna conscious, he is satisfied in every condition. And even if he has to deal with material opulence like King Priyavrata, he had to deal with material opulences, but he's totally detached. Why is he detached? Because he understands the temporary nature of the material world. And he understands the true asset of possession is only the process of devotional service. So one who is, even in a household situation, he may be acting like an ordinary person, but in his mind and action, he wants to just serve the Lord, and he does everything as a matter of duty. So, one who takes the process of devotional service remains satisfied in any condition. And Prabhupada in the purport quotes that famous song of Narottamdas Thakur, Nitai Pada Kamala, where Narottamdas Thakur says, take shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda, why did they appear? To save the fallen people of Kali Yuga. Patit Pavani to Tava Vatara. And most of Aprita Prabhu, Nampai Vyara. Narottama Thakur states that, my dear Lord, you appeared to save the fallen people of Kali Yuga, and there's no one more fallen than me. Narottama Thakur is giving us the mood of a devotee, that he always considers himself to be very insignificant, just like Krishna Das Kaviraj says in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that if anybody even takes my name, all his good qualities will go away. So our great acharyas have exemplified how we should practice humility in our thoughts and actions. And as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, if you practice humility as he exhibits in the third verse of the Shastra, then you can be in a position to chant the holy names of the Lord constantly. So Narottama Das Thakur says, take shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda. The lotus feet of Lord Nityananda gives you the cooling effect of how many moons? Millions of moons put together. In other words, Aha Prabhu Nityananda Premananda Sukhi. Kripa karo kana kore ame voro dukhi. Narottama Das Thakur says, my dear Lord Nityananda, you are very, very merciful. And you are always happy, blissful, Nitya Ananda. Ananda means bliss, Nitya means eternal. So one who takes shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda, he will always be blissful. And Lord Nityananda also exhibited extreme patience when Madai attacked Nityananda with a stone that caused his forehead to bleed. Lord Chaitanya was ready to use the Sudarshan Chakra, but Nityananda stopped it, saying that this is just a small sample of what you can expect in Kali Yuga. And Jagai Madai were very sinful, was so moved by Nityananda's extreme compassion and tolerance that they repented and took the process of chanting the holy names of the Lord. So to summarize, we over here, King Parikshit, in the opening verses of this chapter, is inquiring from Shukadeva Goswami as to how could somebody as determined as Priyavrata deviate from his intentions, take to the path of administering the universe and entering the Grihastha ashram, and how later on we also see that Priyavrata ruled over the universe and later on transferred the responsibility to his eldest son. And again, he went back to practice extreme austerities. So the summary of this story is, Bhagavatam is full of transcendental stories, each of which has a purport. And a salient point that we as devotees can learn is, King Priyavrata served as directed by the Lord and as needed to serve the mission of the Lord. So similarly, our attitude should be that we will serve as needed and directed to push on Krishna consciousness, and along with our service, we remain totally absorbed in devotional activities. And if we're totally absorbed in devotional activities while doing our service, doesn't matter what the service is, you'll be detached, you won't get attached, and you'll be able to make spiritual progress. So we should all, by hearing these transcendental stories, we get purified, we get inspired to practice the process of devotional service, and constant hearing and chanting is absolutely necessary. Nasta Parisha Vadesha Nityam Bhagavad Sevaya Bhagavad Gita Mashtoke Bhakti Bhavati. Nice. By regularly hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, all that is inauspicious is destroyed. and loving devotional service is established. And now, as we said in the classes yesterday and day before, what are we going to start? The Transcendental Book Distribution Marathon. So some of us say, oh, I don't like this service, I'm not going to be a seva ki nahi. But if we serve as needed, our goal is to save the conditioned souls, and one of the mediums is prachar, preaching or book distribution. So we should enthusiastically take part in this service, and Krishna will be pleased. And if we sincerely endeavor, then even if there are some weaknesses, shortcomings, the Lord will help us overcome those. And when Krishna sees we are sincerely trying, Krishna also reciprocates and helps. Everyone's ready for the marathon? Hare Krishna.